Hello, extra time.
Are you part of the league not to get a hoy? Because it damages your reputation. It makes people, when they read it, just laugh at you.
The single club, they're playing in the League One, and they're playing in the Europa League, and they're credit for the game in this country. Maybe we should let them in hand again, the manager of the IMC.
Very welcome along to the ExtraTime.ie Sportscast with myself, Declan Maron, joined in studio by, I can only say, a bit of a celebrity these days, Mark Dara Ferris. How are you doing?
I'm delighted to be here, Declan. Do you want to explain what that's about?
I think I'd rather let you explain this one. Our dear public running at Mark Dara at this stage for autographs.
Well, not quite. I met up with former ExtraTime.ie reporter Brian Fitzgerald last night, who's back in Dublin after being living away for a while. So we were chatting on all things League of Ireland. But out, he produced his Greatest League in the World book, which the FAI has produced. And I have one of the contributors to it. So Brian insisted, it's not my choice, he insisted that I sign his copy for prosperity. So my article on Shamrock Rovers winning 6 FAI Cups in a row has my signature and Brian's copy. Anyway,
if you'd like a signature, if you'd like to just hang out with Mark Dara, but it sounds like you can email in at extratimenews on Facebook, or at extratimenews@gmail.com, I should say. At extratimelive@gmail.com.
No, don't need email in at all, but you can give the email if other people want to get in contact with it.
Then. At extratimelive@gmail.com, I'll get it right eventually. At extratimenews on Facebook or extratimelive, or at ET Sportscast on Twitter. There you go, got them eventually. I must say the book does look mighty impressive. I haven't had much of a chance to flick through it there, but I will once we finish recording here. It looks really, really good.
Yeah, it's 100 pages, so obviously I'm biased, but no, had a read of it last night. Some of the articles was reading about the history of the showgrounds up in Sligo. Jessica Ferry has penned that one, but it's well worth a look. As I said, the FAI have kind of commissioned a range of writers from with different kind of backgrounds, different clubs to write about the league, so give that a plug.
We've got a lot to get into here. We've got the first division, we've got a preview, we've got some interviews from the league launch to bring it as well. Luke Burney and Morris, Dean Zambra, and also we've got Alan Cawley coming on the show. Excited to have Alan on. He was back on the live broadcast on RTE for the Sligo Dundalk game, or Dundalk Sligo, I should say, and got involved and lots to talk about on the RTE coverage as well. But we'll start off, I suppose, talking about a few positives and negatives from the first round of Premier Division fixtures. I kind of picked out a few here. We're a negative show, particularly when Dave is here. Dave's not here this week, but we'll, in his honour, start off negative. Robbie Benson's injury, an absolute gutting one to start us off with.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad injury, but it looked like it was, people were talking about a broken fibula, and maybe that's still the case, but it seems like he won't be out for the full season, and that he should be able to come back towards the kind of June, July time ahead of Europe, which is crucial for Dundalk. But there's, by that stage, a lot of the league games will have been played because of the front loaded fixtures. But and then they also, Patrick McElhenney picked up an injury as well, and that seems to be a foot injury, not as serious as Robbie Benson. But whether Dundalk might decide actually to splash a bit more cash before the end of the transfer window and bring in some players on a short term, we'll have to wait and see. The transfer window is still open for a little while.
On the positive front, an early pitch invasion. Shamrock Rovers fans getting right on there. Enjoyed that, I have to say, watching the highlight reel back.
It was, yeah, I suppose,
you can say you don't endorse that. I wholeheartedly endorse that for a 94-minute winner. Come on.
Yeah, well, I remember watching Newport the previous week when they beat Middlesbrough, and I was actually disappointed they didn't have a massive pitch invasion.
That pitch can't take much more invasion, to be fair.
So I saw a few fans did get onto the pitch after their defeat. We did enjoy poor Gammon's goal. But yeah, pitch invasion. Yeah, it was literally the last kick of the game in Waterford. Graham Kelly blew his whistle to kick the match off again, and then he promptly blew the final whistle. So Rovers were obviously delighted to get that in front of a really big crowd in the ORC. There was over 4,150 at the game.
Yeah, and on that, actually, just another, while we're on the positive element of it, we should mention the crowds. Great crowds all around. The scene that and I think they mentioned, I think Stewie Byrne or Alan Cawley might have mentioned this on the live broadcast on RTE, the scene at Inchicore looked, up at Richmond between Pats and Cork, it looked fantastic. It looked like a really, really good attendance there, which maybe is not something you could have said about Pats all of last season.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, I've been going to Richmond Park for years and remember some really, really big crowds, and if we're talking about Pats and attendances in previous years, we've really been probably talking about small crowds. So it was really great to see when I saw the footage. Basically, the ground looked to be full. You know, the stand behind the goal is often just as a smattering of people, and that was full. People were on the Connacht Terrace, and it was great to see. Gareth Penrose penned an article on the first week of attendances, and you know, there was just close on 18,000 at the all across the five fixtures, which was up nearly 1,000 on last year, and yeah, so there's really, really big crowds right across the league.
Hopefully that carries on now through the season as well.
Yeah, and the only thing I'd say is that if we look through the best attendances of the season for most but not all clubs, it'll tend to be their nearly opening fixture. The off season's so bloody long, people can't wait to go back to a game. The exception then will be kind of a derby fixture or some of the other fixtures towards the end of the season if somebody's looking to win a trophy. But very positive start.
I don't want this to go into a too much of a too good, too bad match of the day sort of spoofy situation, but if you look at two positives and negatives in terms of play, Dinny Corkin's goal I thought was an absolute beautiful bit of work, some great skills, some nice passing, and handy enough finish for Dinny. It's good to see him right in there at the start of the season. But in terms of, you know, wanting to have some positive play to talk about, that was, for me, when I was sitting there watching the highlight reel, kind of caught me by surprise more so than maybe because I'd seen the Waterford free kick and a few others, some other good goals. But I was just really impressed with that. I thought it was a nice bit of play. On the negative, Sean Murray's miss of the season in the first game. Absolutely. His header, which was, I think, nearly on the line at that point. I have no idea how it's gone over the bar. That's one of those mad ones that when you're watching the game going, you must feel Dundalk are a bit cursed in that game a little bit, but it's atrocious, atrocious miss.
Because he came off the bench for, he didn't start.
He came on for Benson.
Yeah, so, which was early enough in the game. But I think outside of that, I think he did an excellent game.
He did. And it's not fair to just pillory him for that, but honestly, if watch that back, you see.
We're hoping to get Sean on at some stage. No, he's not going to come on.
He is. Look, magnificent player, etc. and then just before we sort of kick on to a few other bits. I should mention McGinty, man of the match for Sligo, his interview, which he ended with, "All right, mum," before running off, which was, I like that. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was doing the rounds on social media there. Yep. They got the clip out of it. But if you had he seemed to have an excellent game. Mm. And, you know, I don't think...
Don't talk about the game. Talk about the clip where he says, "All right, mum."
Yeah, he's just, it's good. He has his family at heart.
You know? Exactly. Lastly, just on this sort of looking at the first week of Premier Division, let's talk a little bit about RTE's coverage before we get into it with Alan later on. We can draw on positives and negatives from it. We could try and go as direct as possible about it. It's not massively positive, I wouldn't have said. The opening highlight reel, I don't think too many people would be massively happy with the Monday package. The Friday package, on the other hand, looked good. Gareth Penrose, you mentioned him earlier, he tweeted joking about basically that it's stunning that they've shown a goal from another ground at this game, which is a big deal. They've rounded up the fixtures right at the end of the game. They've shown the goals. This allows the clubs to use it on social media. People then get to watch the goals, continue the buzz about it. There's positives to draw on, but I still have this slightly negative, and maybe this is when people put it down to League of Ireland moaners, maybe this is part of that, but I still feel a little bit disappointed that our highlights package is now only decent when it's on the end of a live game, as opposed to we then have to wait Monday or use the online clips.
Yeah, that's the disappointing thing, that on the weekend that RT will have a match, they'll be able to show the clips. So I think Kevin Lynch got the first goal across the five games, which was a really good free kick for Waterford. And so that was, people were actually able to watch that at halftime in the game that they were at. If they were flicking through Twitter, they were able to go on and actually watch that.
Brilliant, we're catching up is what you're thinking when you see that, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And then by the time anyone travelling home from a game was able to watch the goals, I think, from virtually all the games. Then Monday night, the 30-minute show was on, and then very quickly on social media, they had the six-minute highlights, around 5-6-minute highlights for I think most of the games. So available to look at straight away on Monday evening. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's definitely the positive, but we don't have a game in RTE for maybe 6 weeks.
Something like that, yeah. It's certainly more than a month, as far as I know.
And we also noticed they were doing around the grounds ahead of time, so something that we pioneered with
Air Sports,
which is good to see.
I think I got to do one.
Yeah.
Interrupted by a certain referee and a kip lend incident.
Clash, it's always the way. Yeah.
One more thing before we move on. Actually, can I just vent frustration on one minor thing with Soccer Hooligan as well? If we're going to do the highlight reel without any sort of introduction to the games and just jump straight in, can we not put the lineups up? I don't know why this can't be done.
They didn't scroll across the bottom.
No, only maybe across the bottom from memory. I don't think they did. I could be completely wrong on that. But even so, imagine a new person watching that. Mm. They get to watch the live game, which shows you the full, graphic of lineups and run through the team, and nowhere else. That's really basic. That drives me absolutely spare. It can't be that hard.
Well, maybe they might pick it up in 6 weeks.
Hopefully, drop it in the back of this
suggestion box.
We'll give it to Alan later. Yeah. Before we move on to a couple of the first division elements, and we do want to preview the first division. As I said, it doesn't get the respect it deserves, the first division. And it's not just because Limerick are in there now. It's not. We recorded last week, thankfully, before Declan Rice. Don't want to talk too much about that. Everyone switch off. They've heard plenty about it. It's we've heard all the over-the-top opinions from two sides, I think. I do want to talk a little bit about where we go from, the Irish team goes from here, just off the back of it. So we're post-Rice now. We don't have to mention them at all, bar this. Where do they go? Who do they look to in the midfield? Clearly, there's an element of them turning up around the grounds, Mick and Terry and Keno at a couple of the League of Ireland games. I think you're of the opinion, not a hope, anyone's getting a call up to that.
Well,
squad.
To be fair, Neil Reardon had a piece in the Sun during the week, and I think that's essentially what he was saying. And
I'd probably agree with that. Yeah,
yeah.
But it is still good. It's still good that they're out there.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. But it's just like the way it's set up with the qualifiers running right through to November. Hopefully, Ireland will have qualified for the Euro 2020 at that stage, but there's very little wriggle room. There's two friendlies towards the latter end of it, of the campaign, and then there'll more than likely be the March, if we need it, playoffs from the UEFA Nations League. So there's not a lot of opportunities to blood new players. But if somebody comes through, we've been talking about exciting talent right across the league. Some of the younger players that have come back potentially from England and are looking to kick on, a couple of them at Bowes, a couple of other clubs as well have done that. Maybe somebody could bolt through and get a chance, but I think it's probably unlikely.
Brown is probably the main midfielder, I would say, in there at the moment, on form. Other options defensively or in terms of the midfield, I can't actually name you an 11 at the moment. And we're in a funny place like that, I think, with this team. Any names that stand out, bar maybe a young lad on the bench for Inter Milan, Ryan Nolan, who's going to probably declare for Spain, and we're back to talking about this declaration thing all over again.
Well, he's
he can't qualify to play for Spain, can't he?
Yeah.
He's born
he's
there.
He's Limerick born, so so you're not going to have it put in a word there, Declan.
I can't really. I know absolutely nothing about the guy. I imagine a lot of people tuned into Virgin Extra or whatever the channel was that you could watch Inter. You could watch him on the bench for Inter, and he didn't come on at all, which is huge disappointment in the Europa. Look, Europa League this week, maybe he'll get a run out.
Maybe.
Just off the top of your head, anything about that Irish team that we can feel good about? Because we try and talk as positively as we can a lot of the time about international football on this, and this sort of saga aside, I can't really think of any talk about the squad. We've not talked about any sort of positive elements to the squad, except for maybe trying to get a couple of English championship players to play for us.
The focus is the first two games are coming up in 3 weeks' time, so kind of March 20th. So
which
we've got,
you said there's no time to blow people in, but we are playing Gibraltar.
Yeah, Gibraltar away, and then we've got Georgia at home.
Tough
so
one.
Yeah, that's your opportunity, but like, there's not going to be a League of Ireland player called into that squad. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
Although I did see Shane Supple walking down the road with his Ireland kit bag slung over his shoulder during the week. So yeah.
Did he give those out pretty easily, or?
It's like you get a cap or you get a bag. Maybe,
right, maybe. So, yeah. I've no use for a cap. I'm not a keeper anymore, so it's not going to be my eyes. Yeah. I'd probably, if I had a bag like that, I'd be. I'd be wearing it everywhere. I'd be making sure everyone knows.
I'm looking down at my Euro 2016 bag, which any journalist who went to the Euros got a freebie for. So they really shouldn't have made it white. I'm trying to keep it clean.
Let's jump into the proper stuff then. First division to look forward to. We'll do a brief preview before hearing a few clips here. We've got Luke Byrne and Ian Morris to talk a little bit about Shells. Shells is going to be a team we have to cover quite a lot in this because, well, essentially they're runaway favourites with the league. Some of the transfers look quite extraordinary for a first division team. Kieran Kilduff back in there is going to be very, very interesting. Luke Byrne, as we mentioned there, and a couple of others, Conan Byrne, a couple of expats lads in there as well. Are they too good for the league, McDyre?
I don't think it's a squad as good maybe as Limerick and Waterford put together. Yeah. And also that the other teams around probably aren't as weak. I think that's the... So it was actually myself and Dave Donnelly chatted to Luke Byrne at the lunch last week, and Luke made the point that it's a bit different this season compared to maybe previous seasons when there was only 8 teams in the first division. So with 10, there's a bit more quality players to kind of go around. So I think the standard of the other teams is higher. I'm not suggesting there's a crisis in Oriel Park, but say Athlone, who didn't win a game on the pitch at all last season in any competition, they've drafted in players that allow them to beat a second string Dundalk side in the Leinster Senior Cup the other night. So I think other teams have purchased well. So, well, yeah, in terms of Shelburne, yeah, they have real quality in their team.
The bookies have them down as very strong favourites anyway for this. And we'll probably run through a few more of the teams. Well, we will run through a few more of the teams after this. But let's hear first from Luke Byrne speaking to yourself, McDara, and Dave Donnelly at the league launch. And after that, we'll hear Andy Hart of ExtraTime.ie speaking to new Shells boss Ian Morris.
Just here with Luke Byrne, Shelburne player ahead of the launch of the league campaign. Luke, you've obviously switched clubs over the winter. How's pre-season gone with you with Shelburne?
Yeah, it's gone really well. We've had 4 good competitive games. We've trained a lot. We've worked really hard. I was playing a bit of catch-up personally coming back in because I've been out for a few months, but the staff have been very accommodating, you know, allowed me to miss a day here, a day there if I needed rest, but I've really enjoyed it and we're looking forward to the season.
And you're one of kind of a number of eye-catching signings that Shelburne had, like obviously great ambitions to come back up into the Premier Division. It's a good squad that has been assembled over at Talk Apart.
Yeah, it is a really good squad. It's you know, a lot of Premier Division experience, lads that have won things, played a lot of games, scored a lot of goals. You know, there's experience all over the pitch, and you've also got a number of younger lads that were there last year, a couple have come in that, you know, they're really competitive and they've got a lot of ability, so you know, it's a really good squad going into the season.
And there's familiar faces within the dressing room and even in the boardroom. You had Dave O'Connor is the CEO or within Shelburne as well, but you've also played with a number of players before. What's that been like? I presume everyone's been very welcoming into the...
Yeah, it's always helpful when you go into the dressing room when you you know, you recognise someone or you've played with people. It's obviously like I've played with Kilduff, Ryan Brennan, Dan O'Byrne, there's a few there that I've played with, obviously Dean Delaney. Then, like you said, you've got Doc, which even, sorry, Jay McGuinness, the assistant manager, I played with him at Rovers. Doc is, of course, he's at boardroom level, so I don't really get to see him, but I would have been good mates with Doc during his time at Rovers. So, yeah, there's a lot of familiar faces, and obviously it's quite a local club to me, so all in all, you know, it's been a really easy transition for me in terms of just getting to know the place.
And looking at the First Division, it is very competitive. Like, I think, you know, Bray have come down, Limerick have come down, but they've still retained quite a lot. They're big clubs, the likes of Cove, even, you know, Athlone Town have been signing some very experienced players as well. It looks to be, like, so I'll just name them all, draw it along for, like, it's going to be a very competitive First Division, maybe unlike other seasons.
Yeah, like you said, if you even look at the likes of Athlone and Wexford, they look a lot stronger on paper than they were last year, so they're going to be competitive. There's going to be no gimmies in the league. Like, you looked at Waterford and Limerick in previous years and they had the league won by probably August, July, which I don't think it's good for anyone. People lose interest, there's very little to play for. I don't see that happening this year. I think there's too many good players around the league. I think the split from 12 and 8 to 2-10 probably contributes to that. You know, there's more players probably have played the Premier Division to go around, and yeah, it's going to make for an exciting season.
And the Premier Division kicks off this week. You've got to wait another week. So who's up for your first game?
We've got Galway away.
OK. Okay, yeah. So you'd be coming maybe against another former team that Kevin Horgan is moved down to Galway United, but Adam Murphy's assembled quite a good squad there.
Yeah,
no easy games, as you say.
Exactly. Yeah, they've got a team full of youth, the energy, and you know they've brought back Vinny Faherty here to Tavern, which obviously are going to be very important for them, I'd imagine. Scored me only ever goal in Galway, so hopefully Kevin's on the receiving end of it again next week.
Very good.
In terms of personally, and obviously you're playing centre half against Waterford, is that something that is a position you expect to play this year?
Yeah, that's where I'm going to play this year. Obviously, if needs be, I'll play fullback. I can play either side fullback, but centre half somewhere I've wanted to play for a while. I've always felt like I've kind of suited the position, so I'm looking forward to not so much learning on the job, but just getting more used to the role really.
And in terms of centre half position, you're not the tallest in the world, so I'm guessing the Shells are probably looking to play through the feet as much as possible.
Yeah, like obviously I'm not 6'4", dominating centre half like that, but I think I'm quite good in the air. We want to play football, I'm left footed, so that brings a bit of a balance to the team, and I'm someone like all the lads, that's what the manager instills in us. He wants us to play the ball on the ground, so if I can do my part and help from the back, then so be it.
And Ian Morris is a relatively new coach. Have you felt working under him so far?
Yeah, it's been really good. Obviously, he's just out of the game, so you know he's really he's obviously played with some of the lads that have come from Bowles, but you know he's not one of these managers that's distant from the players or anything like that, which I think helps. You know, he's very upfront. He talks to us all the time. He's very specific in what he wants out of all of us, which I think players appreciate and like. And training's been good, so yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it.
And you had some experience last year working with the under-15s at Rovers. Are you looking to continue to the coaching side of it?
Yeah, so I've done 2 years with the 15s out there, and I've just finished my B licence, so please God now I'll get on the A licence, and I'm just still kind of figuring out which team might need me in terms of Shells, because you know I came in quite late. A lot of these things have kind of been sorted out and confirmed, but I will be involved in some capacity, I'm sure, at some A trip.
And having worked with Damien and then working with Ian, who both have a huge amount of experience in kind of a professional game over a long period of time, is that something that can only help players even younger than you?
Yeah, of course. Like we have a lot of lads there who haven't played full time football. They've come out in 19s and they're playing for Shells or whoever it had been before this season. And even myself, if I can maybe pass on anything that I know that I've taken from being in a full time setup, that helped the lads and in turn helped the team, and obviously that's one of the manager's jobs and he's been doing it so far.
Luke, thanks a million. That's what
you're saying. You're listening to the extratime.ie sportscast.
Obviously signed a lot of good players, everyone's getting excited about it. How is it coming together so far?
It's going all right. We've been, I think, consistently now we've had 6 players out injured every week over pre-season, which is it's been a struggle to get players on the pitch together and get players training together, so they start to feel each other out. Yeah. And start to get used to each other, and that's been a little bit difficult. But then the other side of that is I've been able to play a lot of under-19s players, and if that hadn't happened I wouldn't have known what's underneath me, and I wouldn't have been able to put trust in them players if this did happen during the season, that I'd know what's underneath and I'd know the quality of player can step up to that. So that's been a massive positive, is seeing the underage players and also for them to see that there is opportunities for them to kick on if they're playing.
Obviously you're at Leeds yourself and you had, I think it was 5 managers in about 3 years.
Yeah,
over there.
Yeah.
Was there anyone in particular you would have learned off the most?
I think you learn off all of them. Mm-hmm. I think you learn, like, different managers have different qualities, good and bad, and if you can take something from both, you're going to be in a better position yourself. Look at the qualities of Eddie Gray that could deal with people one-on-one, and then you had like the likes of Brian Kidd, who was just his attention to detail was immense. So there's things you can take off everyone, and you take good and bad.
So who are you expecting kind of to be challenging this year in the first division?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I think it's going to be close this year. I don't think it's going to be a 2-horse race or a 1-horse race either. I think there's 6-7 clubs there that have recruited extremely well. I think the favourites from everyone, the favourites tag came a little bit where I kind of got my business done earlier than a lot of other clubs, and now everyone has kind of got theirs done now. So I think the squads and the other clubs are a lot stronger now, and it's going to be extremely competitive. I think we've all gone to see each other over pre-season, and you're kind of going, right, it's going to be a tough old league this season. I think the standard is going to be higher than it's been. We've seen a lot of new players come into the league from maybe coming back from the UK, or there's a lot of players from other countries coming into the league, and you're seeing players that played in the Premier Division now come into the First Division this season. So I think the standard's going to be extremely high, and there's a lot of people with points to prove as well, which obviously drives people on.
Yeah, will one of them people be probably Kilduff? Obviously he's coming back from America. Did you notice any kind of difference in his style of play since he's come back for you?
Killian's, I think his record stands for itself, what he's won in the game, how many goals he's scored, and I'm just hoping he can add more goals and another title to it.
And you know, a lot of the talk is kind of as yourselves as favourites for the year. Do you kind of ignore that talk, or how do you kind of handle stuff like that?
No, I don't mind. I'd rather be in a position where you're considered a favourite than not being talked about, or that you might float around the middle of the table, or you might be down the other end of the table. So no, not at all. Like, as a player, I've had promotions myself, so I know what it takes to get there, and I know how hard it is to get there as well. And that's something that I want all the players to understand, is that you have to be at it every single week. You have to be at your maximum every single training session. That translates into your games then. So that's something we've been working towards. And I think if you've seen our games over pre-season, you've seen how we're improving week on, and that's encouraging for me.
Finally, we let you go. Has anyone been trying to reattempt your goal from last season in training?
There's been a couple. That was fantastic for me, but I haven't even looked at that. Yeah. I haven't had time to even think about that since I've taken over. So I'm hoping someone beats it this year.
Yeah, hopefully, anyway. Lovely. Thanks a million, Ian.
And there's kind of a lot of grumbling about maybe we don't have enough Premier League players, but in terms of the Championship,
what's the point in grumbling about it? What's the point of me grumbling?
But the step up to international football in the Championship, is it easily managed?
Well, I'll tell you about when we played in 2002. What's the point of me grumbling? We had lads who were all at the bottom of the Premier League, real scrapping away, Kintz and Matty Holland and Gary Breen, who hadn't even got a club. What's the point of me grumbling? So, I don't subscribe to that, you know, you just... Whatever it is, whatever I've got, I'll get them together and make the best of them and try and make sure we qualify. Grumbling is not one of the things I do.
You can subscribe to each new episode of the ExtraTime.ie Sportscast on iTunes. Please give a rating or add a comment there to let us know your views.
I want to ask you about Ian Morris. Has Ian Morris officially retired?
I don't think so. I think he might have registered as a player, but more from an emergency point of view.
Right. It'd be nice to see. He says there in the clip that the lads are trying to practice his goal from last season on the training pitch. So what he needs to do is see them all practice. They're missing shots, brings himself on, slams one in. That's how you do it.
Yeah, well, it must be a little bit difficult for him because he was playing at such a high level last year, and now he's the manager, and I'm sure he's getting involved in those five-a-sides.
Yeah. Was it Graeme Souness back in the day who was getting involved and actually injuring his own players, apparently, as the rumour goes?
Well, the other one was that Glenn Hoddle just couldn't understand why players couldn't, you know, take that wonderful touch and do this. This is how you do it. So,
and
so
Roy,
just compared Ian Morris to
Roy Keane taking his players' money in his own autobiography about Craig Gordon. Or was it stitching up Craig Gordon. It was for every shot he could save, he'd earn like a tenner or something like that. And yeah. Anyway, enough of players stitching up. Let's keep on the First Division thing here. Shell's first game comes up against Galway. Tough game to start off.
Yeah, they're down in Galway for the first game of the season. Galway have recruited some new players. They got Kevin Horgan from Shamrock Rovers. He was there previous. So he's gone down to them. But I think Shelburne would be too strong for Galway in this instance.
Galway are no kind of, again, going just on what the bookies have them as, they're no kind of price for this First Division this year. I think it was last year, I gave them every chance of going up. I thought they'd be very, very strong, and they disappointed. It really didn't work out for them at all. Look, we'll touch more about the teams. I did mainly want to focus on Shells, but I'm just pointing out, Galway no kind of... chance, according to the betting on this anyway at the moment.
Well, the Vinny Faraday and Irla Davern, probably two of the other kind of main transfers that they've got in.
Elsewhere then, let's look at second really briefly before we go on to before we go on to some more clips of Dean Sambra, and also going to hear a very interesting clip regarding Limerick's current situation. But who do you think is up there for second? Again, I'll just give you a quick run through the betting. Bray are next in line. Now, Bray made some very, very interesting signings. We talked to the new chairman around the time of the takeover, and there's a lot more enthusiasm about it right now. I suppose in certain circles, there's always going to be that kind of thing. But certainly then there was. That's no big shock. But would they have enough about them, you think, to go on and challenge Shells even?
Well, they've signed Gabriel Salva from Dundalk.
Yeah.
Obviously looking to get back playing regularly week in, week out. And Dylan McGlaid, we mentioned earlier on, is a great acquisition from Longford Town.
Very surprised at the McGlaid one, actually. I thought Longford were looking in good nick as well. And I thought it might be ideal.
Or he might have gone to a Premier Division club.
Yeah, I think that was sort of the feeling, because it was a late signing as well, wasn't it? It wasn't an early decision. I think there's probably an element to that. He probably expected to move on to a Premier Division, and he probably could have, to be fair. Bray have probably maybe got themselves a bit of coup going on his form last season anyway.
Yeah, now they've lost Kevin Lynch, who's gone to Waterford, but Paul Keegan, we mentioned earlier I don't think he had a great finish at the end of last season with Waterford. But
you would say he probably could still be in the Premier Division as well, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's probably an element to that. Look, we'll touch on a few more clubs in just a few moments. Let's hear next. Andrew Dempsey got a chance at the league launch to speak to Dean Sambra, so we'll hear that audio. And then we'll just hear a brief clip of Donal McGee, who is a spokesperson for Limerick's new sponsors. He spoke to Micah Hearn on Live 95 FM Sport, and we'll just hear a brief clip from that as well.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be joined by Longford Town captain Dean Sambra at the SSC Ayrshire City League launch here. Dean, have you found it today?
Yeah, feeling good, like ready to go for the new season. So we're here obviously at the launch and getting the photos and all done, but everything's done and dusted pretty much for pre-season and ready to start the league campaign now.
Yeah, and how has pre-season been so far? Obviously it's been probably a bit of a long time waiting.
Yeah, it's been good so far, you know, a lot of games, which is what you want. You want match practice and match sharpness. A couple of positive results, so I think we're in a good place, and like you said, just waiting for the season to start now.
Yeah, and look, obviously there's been a lot of good pre-season results, as you just mentioned there. You know, there was the 2-2 with Dundalk, there was the draw against Shamrock Rovers, and then you beat Cork City as well. So how is things shaping up in the Longford Town dressing room?
Yeah, I think it looks really, really good. It's been really positive pre-season, good results in the games. So we've built on what we done last year, which was, you know, positive but a little inconsistent. So we're hoping for more consistency this year and hoping to have a good year, yeah.
Yeah, and how have maybe the new signings gelled into the squad? Obviously, you know, Anto Breslin's coming from Wolves. There's Lee Stacey from Shelburne. How have they maybe gelled into the squad?
So far, so good, yeah. We've brought in a lot of players. Obviously lost a couple last year from the starting lineup, like, you know, which is the nature of the league. But yeah, we've brought in a lot of strength and depth. Everyone looks good. It looks to be a good dressing room and a lot of positive vibes coming, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously the style of play Longford were, you know, I suppose they were heavily praised for their way of playing football last year. Is that something we can expect to see again this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's Neil's philosophy. He likes to play good football. He's brought in players that are comfortable on the ball. He's asking people to be brave. So absolutely, I think you can expect to see more of that from us. And we obviously want to play a good brand of football while achieving the results.
Yeah, and look, finally, what's the aim in the dressing room at Longford Town? Say you're looking at promotion for certain.
Yeah, absolutely. For us, it has to be promotion, whether it's the top spot or the playoff places. The goal at the end of the day is to achieve promotion. We fell short a little bit last year, so we're refocused on it this year.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Steve.
Thank you. You're listening to the ExtraTime.ie Sportscast.
Just before we comment on that then, let's hear the clip of the spokesperson for the new sponsors, for Limerick's new sponsors, Donal McGee, speaking to Micah Hearn on Live 95 FM on their Live 95 Sport.
The dailies in themselves, this is a separate entity. The jerseys and the sponsorship for the jerseys are a separate issue altogether. That's done by the Daily family. That's correct. And on the other side, you have private investors who have injected money into the club to guarantee the financial stability of the club going forward for the 2019 season, and working closely with Pat O'Sullivan. You know, is it great for the club? Absolutely, Mike. I mean, now I think that, you know, that Tommy can get on with, and the players can get on with doing what they're supposed to do, is be on the pitch, not looking over their shoulders, wondering where the next money is or the next cash injection or something to keep on. The stability is guaranteed for the 2019 season. I think that's really positive. And I would like people to get behind the team and the players and support them as best they can this year.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed we get the crowd next Friday evening at the Markets Field.
Really, really interesting stuff, I thought, just to stick with Limerick then for a minute. It sounds, listening to that clip, McDarrah, that their immediate future looks pretty decent. They'll hopefully have a reasonable chance in this year, although haven't had a lot of time to sign players. Still a bit of a question long term.
Yeah, the idea is that this consortium, or a group of individuals who have come together, sounds like a consortium to me, will be able to, I suppose, make sure that there's enough funding within the club for this season and with a long term view to take over next season.
Yeah, some good young players re-signed there as well, Fitzgerald and a few like that, but probably a little bit of concern that they haven't managed to strengthen too much. A team that will probably feel a little bit hard done not to have been mentioned by now is Drogheda, who are probably dark horses for this one. They probably weren't mentioned all that much last season as well and went close. For me, I can't see it again this year, but again, that could be my limited knowledge of Drogheda, admittedly. They'll fancy their chances of sneaking in there again for the playoff spot, at least.
I think Tim Clancy did really well last season, but they've lost a few key players. They have William Hondermark's gone to Nart City, which is quite an eye-catching move. He's a young teenager who was quite impressive. He didn't play a huge amount, but when he did, he was very good. And then, like, Gareth McCaffrey, who got a fair few goals for them last season, he's gone to Athlone Town, where we mentioned earlier on. So, now they have brought in the likes of Keane Kavanagh from Shelburne and Thomas Byrne from St. Pat's, who has some great potential if Tim Clancy can get him on the straight and narrow in terms of the play on the pitch. So, but I think they might be a little bit weaker maybe than last season.
Yeah, I think you can see, again, I don't mean to keep banging on about the betting, but you can often tell, like, people have done work and research into that, and you can tell just but as it skews off going towards Limerick, Galway, then Cove, Cabinteely and Athlone. So Drogheda's still in there with a chance reasonably in the betting, but as you said, it looks tough for them this year, I would say.
Yeah, and it's probably Wexford and, well, Athlone definitely be stronger. Mm. It's probably Wexford that'll struggle, but otherwise I think it's quite a competitive first division.
Yeah, Cove Ramblers would be interesting as well, because again, I think I tipped them up to nab a playoff spot last season, so I was wrong about that. But there was a lot of on-again, off-again trouble with them over the last couple of years. Stephen Henderson even apparently left at one point, but still there now at the moment. I'd like to see it work out for Cove, actually. Just a team I'd like to see going well and managing to nick it, but they probably need to significantly strengthen for this, never mind making another step up, and I'm not sure they've done so.
It was a case of re-signing key players, which is what they did, and then they brought players in from wonderful clubs, like Ona Donovan came in for Bruno's Magpies.
Lovely.
So,
what a name. Fantastic stuff. Lastly, before one quote actually I wanted to pull. Dan McDonald mentioned the First Division, tried to give it a little bit of a mention. It wasn't the longest piece now. It didn't do an outright preview of it, but just sort of reminding people that it is there. It does start this week. And he sort of mentioned it as a bit of a, I don't want to misquote him, but the gist of what he was saying was like a rehabilitation for sort of clubs who've had a tough time of it, gone down, and it often acts as a bit of rehabilitation, lets them get their act together. And there's probably a few teams that you could perfectly describe as that. Shells are probably on the latter stages of that, but Limerick and Galway to me look too, who maybe just need to spend a bit of time there, refocus, fix things up, and maybe it could be an opportunity for them to get back up. But yeah, you'd have to think Shells and Bray look pretty strong. Longford, if they play how they did last year, would have a reasonable chance of getting in, and the few in behind then are going to have to really, really kick on with a bit of form to trouble those three, I would have thought.
Yeah, with the money coming into Limerick, I think that probably skews it a little bit, that it gives them the strength to maybe compete when it mightn't be in the case. In relation to the others, I'd nearly put Bray in that category of a club that had gone down to a lot of work been done off the pitch and trying to get fans back on side, which definitely have done.
Yeah.
But maybe it might be a season for them in the First Division. But with the way one team goes automatically up and then the three teams behind in the playoff, you can it'll go right to the last game of that first division.
You can get betting without Shelburne. Limerick 12-1. That's all I'm saying.
It's not about the betting.
No, actually. Absolutely not. But I'm just saying. But poor enough coverage expected this year again. I know Stephen Henderson, who we mentioned already, was vocal enough on Twitter going, well, there is a first division as well.
What was the issue?
I'm not quite sure.
I didn't understand. Like, they had all the first division.
We should have Stephen on the show, actually, to talk about it at some point, because he's, you know, more than happy to talk about these issues, to be fair to him. He's not sort of putting in slide digs. He's putting in...
But I did see that. Like, all the first division clubs did come to the launch, and it actually gave... Because the first division is starting this week rather than last week, it's actually given a little room for it to breathe. Like, we've been doing our club-by-club previews an extra time.
Great previews, by the way. Been enjoying them.
Yeah, so we're able to kind of get that up. Like, a lot of the players that were interviewed, you know, the chat we have with Luke Byrne, we're able to use this week as well. So I didn't quite understand. But yeah, I get your point about Stephen. When we did our top 20 articles for the year, two of those articles were interviews with Stephen Henderson. Absolutely brilliant to get.
Right, well, look, let's leave it there for the time being. We'll talk more about the first division next week, presumably once we've seen a couple of games. We're going to hear now from RTE's and various clubs, Alan Cawley. We managed to grab a chat with Alan earlier on today. Delighted to say we're joined on the line by RTE pundit and former player of Shells, UCD, Bray, Pats and a number of others, Alan Cawley. Alan, it's good to have you on. It's good to have the league back on live on TV, but am I right in saying were you a late draft to the show? Was it not supposed to be Richie Sadler originally?
Yeah, I think Richie was going to do the first one, and I think he did his back in during the week. So yeah, I was a late substitution deck, if you can call it that. But I think that's the format we're going to work off this year. There's four of us, I think. So between myself, Stewie, obviously, who was also on Friday, Richie and Kevin Doyle, we're going to mix and match the game. So Richie and Stewie were originally down for this one, and myself and Kevin were going to do the next one, which I think is Dundalk and Cork. But obviously, because of Richie's injury, I was glad to step in. The fact that it was Dundalk as well, and obviously Sligo Rovers, my hometown team. So, and the fact that it was the opening night as well, of course, I was delighted to be part of that.
Absolutely. A lot of us would have noted the changes beforehand for the live broadcast and the highlight show. Obviously, the highlight shortened at first look, it looks relatively worrying. But having watched that first extended version of the live broadcast, it's really encouraging getting to see goals from all around the ground on Friday, and allowing the teams to use it on their social media is a big part of it. You'd be, I suppose, from your own point of view, you're a fan and an advocate of the League of Ireland, but also someone involved in the broadcast side of it. What do you make of the changes so far? Obviously, being involved, it must feel pretty encouraging to get longer to talk about a game.
Yeah, well, sure. As you rightly say there, Dec, first and foremost, I'm a fan and love the league, obviously, and Sligo Rovers would be my team, but I'm at games left, right and centre every week, so I'm just a fan of the league in general. But to be part of it in terms of broadcasting is absolutely brilliant as well, and I love that side of it. So Friday night was great, our first game, and obviously with the new format, the extended, obviously we had the build-up, which was longer, which was good to obviously set the scene. And then afterwards, of course, we could analyse it properly as well, which was great to have the time to do that, because a lot happened, to be fair, in the game. So that was a plus point as well. But the big, huge addition, obviously, to the Friday night coverage was the fact that we could get the goals in from all around the grounds. And it was a big team effort. We had reporters all around the grounds. Obviously, the work that goes into getting the games back so quick, the turnaround, obviously, so that we can broadcast them then from Dundalk as well, I thought was a great team effort from everyone. And I think the reaction to the coverage, I think, was a really positive one, because I think we were on air till 10:30. We had interviews where we could as well. And just to have that instant reaction for, I suppose, myself and Stewie or whoever the pundits are on the night, to be able to react off that as well, I think was a really a big plus point. And even there was a little incident there as we were kind of halfway through that. Patrick McElhenney was limping out on crutches, and we were able to even kind of throw that in, and all this was happening live, which was good as well, a different kind of angle that we didn't have before. So I was delighted with how it went, and I think in general, I think the people around the league felt it was a good thing as well. And I think that's a really good point you make also, Dec, about the social media side of it, because it plays such an important part in the league now, something that we haven't seen over, I suppose, when my time as a player, that was never prevalent. But now it's so prevalent amongst the clubs, and the work that they do on their social media sites and channels and promoting the game. And obviously with huge attendances as well at the weekend, I think the fact that they get to show the goals straight away as well is a big thing for them.
There's an element as well, Alan, I think, looking at maybe recent editions of Soccer Republic through the years, that some of it was sort of filling time with a lot of features and slots. You had things like crossbar challenges and stuff. And I think what this probably lets you do is go a bit more in depth on the analysis of the live games. And as the product improves, that's probably something we're going to want to see more of. Some more in-depth analysis rather than just, you know, a show representing the league, which is maybe stuffed with stuff that is not necessarily representing the league.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's one side of it that I really enjoy in terms of the punditry, that you can kind of get your teeth into, I suppose, the tactical side of the game. And I suppose you're trying to enlighten the listener or the viewer as well, obviously, the people tuning in, and to explain exactly what was happening or why Shamrock Rovers got the better of Sligo Rovers, or why Sligo Rovers got the better of Dundalk in terms of tactical stuff that they... Because the amount of detail that managers have now and what they work on, I think it's only fair for us to do the work as well and put the work in to try and kind of enlighten the viewer as well on the night. So that's definitely something which I love to do and which I kind of enjoy doing, as to why I go to all the games and try and do my homework on as many teams as I can, so that you can have that added advantage when it comes to the broadcast on the Friday night.
Quick question then before we move away from the media stuff and more onto the football. Will we, or do you hope at some stage we get to the point where the product is strong enough that we have a live game each week and a highlight, you know, show that's maybe less magazine, and that just gets to be football punditry and analysis like you guys are used to?
Yeah, maybe. Well, that's the plan, I suppose, down the line, Declan. We'd all look, in an ideal world, we all want that, but I suppose you'd have to speak to the powers that be in terms of why that isn't the case or whatever the organisations involved. But certainly for me, as a fan, of course, I'd love that. And as a pundit, I would love that. I'd love to be doing that every week. But it's certainly not the case at the moment. But I think, to be fair to the coverage, certainly even since I stopped playing, and not just in broadcast media, but you look at the print media as well, I think the League of Ireland gets a fair amount of coverage. Because I remember when I was playing, it was nowhere near the levels of what it's at the moment. And you spoke also there about social media stuff. I think the coverage it gets is fairly decent. You look at the print media on a Friday as well, there's 8-page pullouts. I think the Mirror, the Star have a good one as well. So like, all the lads involved in the print media as well do a lot of hard work week in, week out, trying to keep all that going. So in terms of coverage, I think it's fairly well looked after.
And Alan, just looking back on last Friday's game, the game you were covering, the Dundalk Sligo game, I think people, if they were looking at the score, would have been quite surprised. But I know the Sligo goalkeeper got man of the match, and Dundalk started last season with a draw against Bray, and that didn't seem to hold them back. But what's your kind of take on Dundalk in that match, and then going forward with this new setup without Stephen Kenny?
Yeah, well, obviously, that's the angle that everybody is looking at. The fact that Stephen obviously is not in charge, and I think the fact that he isn't in charge, you're looking for, I suppose, any little area where you can give other teams hope. And I think that's probably what people are focusing in on, because it does give other teams hope, because he has been the driving force of all their success over the recent times. So from that point of view, I think that's the angle that people are kind of focusing and honing in on. But certainly from Vinny's point of view, and his first game in charge, it's the same team. He picked the same team that played in the cup final. He has a really kind of ready-made squad assembled. He's even added to it and strengthened it, I feel, as well, in areas. So they're still the favourites. They're still the team to beat. They're the ones that have set the standards. But he will be disappointed with Friday's result, because I'm sure he was keen, just from his own personal point of view as well, to get off to a winning start. And in fairness to them, the first half, they should have been 3-4, if not 5 up. They had any amount of clear-cut chances. But as you say, the goalkeeper played really well. I think missing the penalty as well, if that goes in, it's a different game. And maybe after 2 or 3 minutes, it would have been the worst possible start for Sligo. And you're thinking to yourself, this could be a disaster of a night. But that gave them a bit of hope. It gave the goalkeeper huge confidence as well. And I think, to be fair to them, they hung in and they got a breakaway goal. Gary Rogers will be disappointed. He should have done better and should have saved it, the free kick from Jack Heaney. But Sligo then, I suppose, at half-time felt as though they had something to really hang on to. And in fairness to them, in the second half, they were a bit better, defended better, and they restricted Dundalk to probably only 2 or 3 half chances at best. So I think that Vinny will be disappointed, but I don't think there'll be any panic buttons pressed just as of yet. But he'll be keen. They're playing Finn Harps this week. He'll be keen to go up to Ballybuffet and get the 3 points on the board.
And how do you think Sligo are set up under Liam Buckley? Losing Mikey Drennan was a big loss for Sligo, but how do you think they're fixed for the season?
Yeah, I was worried about them before the start of the season, and even though they got the good positive result against Dundalk, I still would be worried for them, because I just think there's been a lot of changes. They've lost a lot of players, a lot of key players, as you rightly say. Mikey Drennan, the one who was scoring the goals for them towards the latter part. Reese McCabe, who was very influential midfielder, very good player, and also others in and around that. Gary Boylan, Raf Grataro, Seamus Sharkey, Lee Lynch. They've lost a lot of players, and obviously Liam in a lot. And I thought the recruitment was quite good at the start, bringing in the likes of Rona Murray, John Dunleavy. They were really kind of filling me with a lot of optimism and enthusiasm, bringing in those two. But since then, the recruitment has been a bit of a kind of hit and miss, and they're all unknowns. You're bringing in these lads, obviously, Leverock has come in, Jamaica, Bermuda, the big lad up front as well, Romeo Parks, Lewis Banks hasn't played a lot of football, Fordyce hasn't played a lot of football. So I think the jury is still out on the recruitment side of things, but certainly from I suppose a positive point of view, that was a massive result for them, and hopefully that gives them confidence going into the game, because they've a tough start. They have Pats this Friday, and then they have Cork on Monday, so they've been faced with a tough start, but certainly you'd hope that would give them a lot of confidence, the result last week.
I have a few other teams I just want to get your opinion on, Alan, because I know you'd have been relatively sweet on Shamrock Rovers, started the season challenging. Are you still firmly of that opinion after, well, obviously it probably reaffirms that opinion, that good result, but are you feeling pretty confident in our chances after a big late win like that?
Yeah, we spoke about this deck before the start of the season, and I do give Shamrock Rovers a really good chance. The only thing that probably, well, it didn't disappoint me, I'm sure it disappoints lots of fans, though, that they didn't get a proper recognised maybe 20 goal a season man. Now, people may ask the question, where are they? They're the hardest things to come across, we know that. But I just feel bringing in this lad, Orgic, I think his name is, again, it's an unknown. And this league is a very difficult league to kind of hit the ground running in and get up and get moving straight away. So you look at the likes of Hoban coming in last year, who knew the league, also Graham Cummins. You'd be looking for Shamrock Rovers to bring in someone like that. And that was the only worry I had for them, because I felt it was imperative that they got a striker of that calibre. Now, that's not to say this lad isn't, but he is an unknown coming into the league. And to give them the best possible chance of overcoming Dundalk and Cork, which they're trying to do, I obviously felt they needed a 20-goal-a-season man. Now, in terms of what they strengthened in midfield, obviously Jack Byrne coming in, Aaron McInniff, I think they're great signings towards the latter part of the season last year, the second half, once they addressed the goalkeeping issue, Manus coming in, and their defensive maybe frailties we saw in the early part of the year. I felt all those were addressed with the partnership of Lopez and Grace. You also have Trevor Clark coming back. It's like a new signing, and I think he's an excellent talent. All the other areas of the pitch, I'm not too concerned for them. It's just that attacking area, that forward area, that centre forward. And I see young Boyd has gone off on loan. Now, I never felt he was going to play this year anyway. But that was the only area I just felt, if they were to get a 20-goal a season, I would have given them an unbelievable chance. I still give them a very good chance. And I think it's important as well for the likes of Shamrock Rovers. Stephen Bradley has had more than a bedding period. Like, he's 2.5 years in the job now. And I think from the fans' point of view as well, they've all the other stuff off the pitch going really well, the academy stuff going great. I think it's time to set they delivered a proper challenge to the top two now at this stage.
We'll move on to the first division in a minute, Alan, but just looking as a former UCD player, I suppose, and you know this, I thought they had a great chance against Derry, but they took a heavy beating, and there'd be a bit of a worry for me now looking at that, the Gulf in class maybe stepping up to the first division, or to the Premier Division from the first division, I should say, when you haven't really strengthened. Would you be worried for them, and do you think there is a bit of a jump up there for a team like that?
Yeah, to be fair to the first division, over the last couple of years, it's been very, very competitive, and there's been probably 5 or 6 teams in contention coming to the latter part. Obviously, UCD were strong winners and comprehensive winners last year, but they still had, I remember going to see them there towards the end against Finn Harps, and Finn Harps gave them a great game. And so even though it has been competitive the last 2 or 3 years, there is still a big jump and a big gulf. And I suppose the problem for UCD is the fact that they lost one of their best, I think probably their best player in Sloggett, going to Derry. Dara O'Connor going to Cork as well. So they're big losses for them. Now, to be fair to Colley, he's going to stay true to his beliefs and his philosophy and stick to playing the football that got them obviously into the position of getting promoted. And that's admirable in itself. But if you're going out and maybe getting kind of turned over because you're very open and you want to play an expansive brand at some stage you have to say to yourself, look, we need to be realistic and a bit more pragmatic here. So I don't think he'll be overly concerned. Obviously, he'll be disappointed at the loss 3-0 away in Derry, but I don't think he'll be too concerned that he feels as though he needs to change everything around right at this moment in time. But if they needed a wake-up call, that certainly was it, obviously, in terms of the better standard of player that you will be coming up against. And I think Colley, to be fair to him in his interview afterwards, he just felt they were very naive on the night, which can happen with young players as well.
Yeah, hopefully we see a bit more of them through the season. First Division obviously starts this week, so we've chatted a bit in detail about it already and heard from some of the Shells lads and a few others. But how do you see the First Division going? It's, I suppose, another of your former teams up the top there, well, likely to be, well, they are favourites. They're nailed-on favourites for the First Division. But do you think it's going to be pretty straightforward for the McDarrows, making the point to me earlier that he didn't think maybe they looked as nailed on as you would have looked at Limerick and Waterford in recent seasons?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point because, as I said, the competition in the First Division has been very competitive the last 3 or 4 years. And I watched them in pre-season against St. Pat's. And now St. Pat's were very good on the night. And obviously St. Pat's had a good start to the Premier Division and signed very well. But Shelburne didn't look all that impressive. Now, it's hard to read too much into a pre-season friendly, so I wouldn't be judging them on that either. But even though they have brought in a lot of players, obviously Kilduff and Conan Byrne and Luke Byrne and these lads, and you'd be expecting them to, of course, they're half favourites and there's been big investment into the squad. It's never as easy as that as what it looks on paper. So I think Braille put up a good challenge. Also, Gary Cronin has, I think, done very well in the off-season, bringing in experienced players like Paul Keegan as well. So I think Longford were quite good under Neil Fenn last year, and he's brought in experience with Conor Kenna also. Drogheda were very good as well last year under Tim Clancy and Kevin Doherty. So you would think they would hopefully put in a good challenge this year as well. So I don't think it'll be a cakewalk for Shelburne, but with the players that they've brought in, they should be winning the league, to be honest.
We've run a fair bit over time, Alan, at this stage, so we might have to get you back on and have a separate interview with Alan Colley, the player, as opposed to just Alan Colley, the pundit. But look, I was reading up on a few pieces just last night just to get a bit of a run through on some of your career. I noticed a piece in the 42.ie, a really good piece where he talked at length about a number of things, amongst them sort of returning to Ireland off the back of your spell with Leeds and Sheffield United, or Sheffield Wednesday, I should say. And I just wonder, you talked a little bit at the time of sort of, it wasn't as a professional setup back then as it is today. Say Alan Colley is returning at this stage, who's the team he wants to sign for? As a sort of ball-playing, wiry midfielder, who's the team he looks in there and goes, I'd have a chance there and I'd fit in nicely there?
Yeah, I'm professional now. I signed for UCD, Deck, and yeah. Paul Doolan was brilliant. Like, and in terms of, like, UCD was always kind of offering scholarships and ticking along there. Never really any ambition in terms of spending money, which they didn't need to, I suppose. But certainly if they wanted to improve and get up the league, Pata. But
to be fair, the quote is along the lines of when you joined, it was something like there was a bit of part-time thinking about some of the, I think, the League of Ireland itself, not about the particular team you were in.
Yeah, well, I think that was the league in general, and it was effectively. It was, I suppose, then when I signed for Shells, like, Pat Finlan, they were much more professional than Pat, and they had an unbelievable setup we had at Shelburne. Obviously, the success that we had as well, but it was probably more from an overview of the league. But certainly looking at it now, you can see how everyone, the first team you'd say is probably Dundalk. Team you'd love to play for. You'd look at that team and you'd be surrounded by great players, set. Everybody would want to play for that team. The brand of football to play as well. Also, Liam Buckley's team, I remember when they won, I thought that was a really good team. And the way Liam played, that would have been a team you would have loved to have been part of a play for as well, because technically they were very, very good. Paul Cook's teams at Sligo as well used to play a great brand of football. So either of those really, Deck, to be honest.
If I was pushing you today, Alan, you had to pick a club from today that you're coming back from Leeds or Sheffield Wednesday at this point, and one of these clubs maybe wants to play the Alan Colley way. Which way is that?
And good brand of football, I suppose, and not much work. That's probably what people would say, sum me up. But Dundalk are the obvious one. Everybody would like to play in that team. But I suppose competition for place would be very hard to get in that team. So I like what Harry Kenny has done at St. Pat's. The recruitment has been very good. So that maybe that's a team, yeah, you'd like to play for at this moment in time.
Lovely stuff. Well, look, thanks a million for joining us, Alan. We'll have to get you back on another time because there's plenty more to discuss. But thanks a million for joining us, and best of luck with the rest of the season.
Pleasure, lads. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Daniel Carr, great to have you on. Are you enjoying your time here so far?
Yeah, so far I've been loving it. I mean,
yeah,
loving it so far.
Yeah, will I give that one another go? The phone fall, did it?
Yeah.
Log on to extratime.ie.
What do you think of that, McDarrah? Alan Cawley in the midfield for Pats there, running the show.
I think Harry Kenny will want him tracking back.
Well,
but as Alan, he held his hands up himself. But he'd love him playing in front of that that Pats crowd. Yeah,
I could see it. No, I could see it.
Well, he looks fit enough. He's only 37. Yeah.
And that's the thing. He left it early on. You know what? They could do worse. He talking about the league coverage and all, I thought was interesting. It was one of the reasons I was looking forward to having Alan on. I was delighted that he was drafted in. Good old injured Richie Sadlier. You could always rely on Richie for an injury. really good to have Alan on to talk about that, because I do think there is something to be said for this. We're going to be unhappy when it's not shown weekly. We're going to be unhappy when the highlights are cut down. Air Sport will pick up the slack. We'll be happy. We'll talk about how good Air are. We will eventually, as the product gets stronger and stronger, which it is doing at the moment, we'll need somewhere for proper week-to-week coverage and proper analysis of it, proper tactical analysis maybe with the pundits. They're starting strong here. As I said, the gap now between doesn't help. Another week would really have people on their side, I think, like another week of this.
With the Six Nations on this week, I think that's
probably true, yeah.
But I hadn't realised that the way RTÉ are doing it is getting the four pundits on.
Yeah.
And Kevin Doyle, who was on doing Champions League coverage.
And Richie Sadlier was on Champions League coverage as well.
Yeah, his back looked fine.
Back for the Champions League.
Yeah, but maybe quick to get into Montrose rather than down to the up the M1 to Oriel Park. So.
That's true. But as you said, it will be fascinating seeing that the guys rotate like that as well. Probably good to have them on.
And Peter Collins still anchoring the show.
Nailing it.
Yeah.
The rock in the middle. It was a bit disappointing watching the highlight reel. No in-studio stuff. That was all Peter
Dubbs. I was a bit surprised, but
it works. You know what? It works.
We're used to that type of format.
I'm not as against the highlight reel as it stands if this stuff is getting released on social media, because we would have watched that. And if you want to watch extended highlights, then you at least have that Monday. But look, I'm not convinced by it as a week-to-week product. I'm saying this week, I thought it actually worked quite well.
And we didn't have the fake live commentary voiceover, which there has been a little bit of criticism of.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
On this show, hugely. I didn't have that. Yeah. Absolutely despise it. I did mention this before. I won't keep going on about it, but there's a great, great piece from that last season where you could tell John Kenny really had to stagger because it was a really long piece. And I felt bad for the guy because he really had to stagger how long the commentary went on. It was good. Look, pro as ever, he got through it, and you wouldn't have noticed only for your kind of like, this is a really long bit of play that they show in the Second Republic. Let's look at a few pieces this week that we want to recommend, because we've been doing this the last couple of weeks, and I don't know if people like it. I like it. It brings me stuff to read. And I can actually join in on this one. There's a great piece on extratime.ie that we wanted to give a mention to.
Yeah, so Thomas Tormey has done a few pieces for us last season, I think probably the season before, where he reviews what's in the newspapers and on the podcast. So we call it Says in the Papers and on the podcast. So he's done a bumper one this week where he looked at a number of kind of articles, the Pat Dolan giving out about the greatest league in the world hashtag. There's two video channels, two YouTube channels that are, so the Between the Stripes have been doing some post-match interviews, and then the Irish Football Fan TV. So we were kind of having a look at that. And rival podcasts, so LOI Weekly, just on what they were talking about.
It's a good thing Dave's not here. He'd be absolutely disgusted.
He'd be giving out about that as well. And then just a couple of Owen Rice did a piece in the Times of London Irish edition about the tragedy of confusing football for a television programme. So maybe that's a good one to round up, since we've talked a lot about football and TV this week.
Nice one. Thanks very much, McDyre, for joining us this week.
You're welcome.
Stick around after, Mike, get your autograph. And thank you for listening in at ET Sportscast on Twitter, at Extra Time News on Facebook, or extratimelive@gmail.com. We'll catch you next week.